Good evening. As David said, we'll be preaching tonight, and I do apologize for that, but I kind of find fault with most of you for that because, and here's what we need to do going forward, regardless of what type of job we do tonight, if you will all tell Dan how horrible we were, this will never have to happen again. And then maybe even think some of the celebrities we might have had tonight. So maybe Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty could have been here. You could control a whole lot. Wouldn't that be nice, Phil Robertson? Yeah. More people would show up than showed up for us. But that's really kind of y'all's fault. So if you will, keep that in mind going forward. And that's also what we're talking about tonight, is we're talking about making some choices. And we're going to be talking about choosing the good part tonight. And we all each have a part to do, and we'll try to keep it brief, but we all have a part to do. We're going to start reading from Luke 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." As we read that, we think back upon what does that mean and how does that impact our lives. Initially, when you read it, you think that not doing housework is the proper thing to do, but that's probably not the direction they were going in. What we're talking about is the choices that we make. And from the first century, all of the rules and laws of the Jewish people, they had many, many different laws and different customs. And of those customs, there are certain things that people were required to do. And as you can see, Martha was more concerned about the customs and the laws of preparation as opposed to listening to Christ. And then again, if we think about it, did Martha even know at the time that what she was doing was wrong? Did she know at the time that she should not have been so preoccupied with things that didn't matter? If you think about it, ever since God created man, we often choose regarding the same things over and over again based upon customs or traditions. We choose things that, our lives tell us to do by our everyday actions as opposed to what's really, really important. You know, every day we get up and we go to work and we do those things and we get into routines. And routines are great, but at the same time, you got to ask yourself the question, are we doing the right thing when we need to do the right thing? Everyone who comes into contact with the teaching of Christ has to make a choice. When we come into contact with the teaching of Christ, we have to choose like Mary or like Martha. We have to either choose between what is technically the law or the things that it says that we are to do, or we have to choose the right thing and the right path to do. The real important part behind it is we have to make a choice. Choosing is incredibly important. If you think back to the book of Revelations and the Laodiceans, they were the ones that were under the highest rebuke because they chose not. They were lukewarm. They were lukewarm in many things. And it is our responsibility that we do choose, that we make sure that we make those decisions, we make those commitments that are important. It may be one of those things that is a real easy choice to make, or it could be one of those things that is a difficult choice to make. But the bottom line is we must choose. Like every other major decision in our lives, we cannot remain neutral. We have to stand for one thing or another. And that's the important part of it. You know, if you're going through work and you have a whole bunch of people talking about Christ and they talk about their faith and their religion, you know, sometimes we might feel like it's better to remain quiet so we don't offend someone. Or maybe, you know, it's better to not say anything for fear of embarrassing ourselves, or maybe not say anything for fear of being called out or challenged. But those are all the wrong choices. The choice is we have to make sure that we communicate what's important to ourselves and to our faith and to our brethren. We have to make sure that we have choices. Just as Martha didn't realize that at the time that she was sinning, so often we don't realize at the time that we're sinning. We don't realize at the time that we've made a choice. Sometimes by inaction we make choices and we don't even think about them. So challenge yourself this week as you come across those opportunities where it may or may not be a choice. Think about those things and stand for what's right and make the proper choice. And I'm going to introduce Ben, and he's going to come up and take over part two. Thank you.
In this story, we're talking about Martha and Mary's choice. But Jesus didn't force Martha or Mary to make a choice. Jesus didn't come into Martha's home and tell her to go into the kitchen and prepare the meal for Jesus and the disciples. And he didn't tell Mary to sit at his feet and listen to him. He didn't force them into do anything. What he did was allow them to have a choice. Likewise, he doesn't force us to make good choices either. In my lifetime, I've made many choices. I made some bad choices and I made good choices, but God has never forced me to make a choice for anything. You know, in certain situations in my life, and I think we've all been here, we sometimes wish that God would tell us to choose this over this and to do it this way, but he doesn't do it. But the love of God encourages right decisions on our part. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God hath appeared to all men." See, God's grace is a gift, free to us to choose from. His grace isn't forced upon us. We have a choice to receive the salvation of Christ. Some will choose it, and some will not. But it's available not just to me or us here, but to all men throughout the whole world. It's not forced on anyone. Revelations chapter 22 and 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Again, he's not forcing us to do anything. He's saying, whoever wants to hear the word, come and listen to it. Whoever's thirsty, come. And whosoever is thirsty, let him drink from the water of life freely, at our own free will, not forcefully. The Lord didn't force Martha and Mary to make right choices, but he did evaluate their choices. As we read in verse 41, he's talking to Martha and he says this, "Martha, Martha, you who are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." The same principle is true regarding our choices today. In our life, we all make choices. And these choices will leave a ripple effect for a lifetime. We'll look back at the bad choices we made and be filled with regret. But we'll look back at our good choices we made and we'll be glad that we did. We'll be thankful for them. And we wish that we would make better choices in life. But just like Martha and Mary, we'll be evaluated for our choices. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We know that once our life on earth is over, we'll be judged, not only for our sins or our character, but we'll also be judged for our choices we made, the bad ones, the good ones, and the ones that we could have made better. So tonight, throughout this lesson, I want y'all to think about the choices that you've made and the choices that we're going to continue to make, and maybe we can start making better choices. Now Sam's going to come up.
The choice Martha made here in Luke 10 was a choice that was not outwardly evil, and it's very similar to choices that we make each day in our lives. We get caught up in our own lives, and we make choices sometimes that are not outwardly evil. We decide that we've got to do something. We need to fix something that's going to get in the way of us serving the Lord, but we feel like we've got to get it done. Things that don't look outwardly evil, we get caught up with. We worry about the day-to-day things of life. Or if we got hay down, we got to get it up. We got to get it rolled up. If we got fences that we need to get fixed, we've got to get that done. If we got something at our house to get fixed, we worry about it. And in verse 40, the Bible says Martha was cumbered about much serving. She got caught up in being too busy. I can remember growing up and hearing a story about a church that was so busy getting ready to serve the Lord that they never actually did any serving. They just stayed busy getting ready to serve. And we get caught up in the same thing. We get busy making a living. We get busy trying to provide for our families. And we let that get in the way sometime of our service to the Lord. And that's something that's hard for us as earthly people, because we get used to that. But it's something that we have to pay attention to keep from getting caught up in. We get too busy to profit spiritually, and that's what happened to Martha in Luke 10. She got caught up in serving people while Mary was concerned about listening to the word of the Lord. And so that's why Jesus said, you're careful and troubled about many things, but there's one thing that's needful. And Mary has chosen that. And as Christians today, that's not unlike a lot of us. We get caught up in getting busy and worried about other things. And it seems that sometimes we want to major in those things that are minor, and we want to minor in the things that are major. I didn't think that up by myself. Someone told me that one time, but I thought it fit right in. We do. We major in things that are really not important. I think sometimes we worry more about the plants that we have out here in the front of the flower beds and what we're going to eat at a fellowship back there than what's going on in here. The most important thing that's happening at our church family is when we gather in here with the Lord to worship Him. And we need to worry about majoring in here and minoring out there. And that's the challenge, and that's the story of Luke 10. That's the story that we have here tonight. So, you know, we get busy. Some of us get too busy to serve the Lord. We get too busy to teach our own children. The only way the church will ever grow is for us to teach our kids. And by teaching our kids, not just to memorize Scripture, but we need to teach them to be faithful. If we're not coming to church, they're not coming to church. If we're not reading and studying at home, they're not studying at home. They do what they see us do when they grow up. And I know we get busy. We're making a living. Yeah, I'm gonna teach them that one of these days. You know, I'm 60 years old. My kids are gone from my house. Only time they come to see me is if Cheryl cooks something or if they need something. And the opportunity is gone for us to teach them. So we can't afford to get caught up in being too busy about things that are not important, not to teach our own kids. Sometimes you have to push them. You know, sometimes, you know, I tell him, you have to lead singing for me Sunday night. I've got something I got to do. And boy, he hates that. But the only way he's ever going to learn to stand up here and do that is to do it. That's the only way I ever learn. You know, I had people that drafted me, stuck me up here. And you're uncomfortable sometimes, but you get over it. You know, I'm sure that the Apostle Paul and Lord's servants in the New Testament times got uncomfortable a lot of times. But if God's people are not going to serve, who will serve? We can't get that busy. Martha seemed to be concerned about present needs. She got caught up in the now. Right now. And she was busy serving, and we get caught up that way in making a living, in doing what we think has got to be done today. In Matthew 6, if we flip over in chapter 6 and read in verse 31, the Bible tells us, wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So instead of us getting caught up in the rat race, we need to keep things in perspective. And that's hard for us sometimes, but that's the challenge that we have set before us. If we would be the servants that God would have us to be. The Lord wasn't condemning housework. He wasn't condemning cooking or feeding, fixing fence, baling hay, none of that. But when we let that get in the way of our service, and when we make that more important than the most important thing, then we become Martha's instead of Mary's. And so we have to ask ourselves, if the Lord came to our house today, would we be like Mary, or would we be like Martha? And that's the challenge for us as God's people, to try to be like Mary, to choose those things that are more important versus those things that are not necessarily the most important things. The bottom line is that the Lord does come into our house every day. He sits on a table in our house. It's his word, and it's in this book. And we need to spend some time learning how to make the right choices and choosing those things that are the most important. Henry's going to come up now and talk about some of those temporary things.
Martha's not unlike many of us. A lot of times we get tied up and caught up in the things that are going on in this world, and we're concerned about what's happening right now, right here. But the problem with that is all that stuff's going to go away. It's all temporal. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You know, folks are spending their entire lives beating out a living, trying to gain more stuff, and it's all going to go away. There's a story about a man one time who was promised all the land that he could walk around in one day. So this guy was, he was actually a pretty good businessman. You know, in business, they say you need to set goals. You need to have a plan. Well, he had a plan, and he had a goal. And he knew about how far he could walk if he walked hard and fast all day long. And that's what he did. He struck out, and he walked as hard and fast as he could until he created a big circle, and he barely reached his goal just before sunset. And then he dropped over dead. It was all for nothing. And that's the way we are. We are like that man. We spend so much time pursuing things of this earth that are all going to pass away. People are killing themselves reaching for those things that aren't going to last. According to the wise men, no matter who chooses the course Martha did, it will only bring trouble and anxiety. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2:11, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I'd labored to do, and behold, is all vanity and vexation of the spirit. There was no profit under the sun. It was all meaningless. It doesn't matter. It's not going to last. Somebody else is going to have it. You're going to leave it for somebody else. And I think that when we study about Martha, I think we can agree that Martha had good intentions. She intended to do a good thing by making these preparations. But I think we all know what road is paved with good intentions. And that's what we have to be careful of. Dwight.
As we look at these verses, we see that Martha was like we would be if we were entertaining guests. We have people at our house most Sundays, and Shelly's in there just working in the kitchen. You're trying to be a good host. But I think we also see that she was distracted by all the preparations that she was making when Jesus was at her house. She did like many of us would do as we live our daily lives on this earth. We get so caught up in the many things that don't really matter. As Henry said, things that when all of our lives on this earth are over, won't matter. It's not going to be, oh yeah, you were good at doing this in the day of judgment. You were a good hostess. You're saved. That's not what it's going to be, is it? It has nothing to do with that. We see that Mary, though, made a different choice from Martha. Martha thought Mary was being lazy. She wanted Jesus to get on to her. Look, she's being lazy. She's not helping me. This was important to Martha. But Mary wasn't lazy. Mary realized what was really important. And although they both made a choice, Mary made the right choice. She chose the one thing that was really needful in her life. The one thing that was really profitable at the moment. And that was listening to Jesus. Paying attention to the words of Christ. To sit at the feet of Christ. And she chose her time listening to what Jesus had to say. How do we choose our time? Do we spend it listening to the word of Christ? Studying the word? Or are we busy preparing our house for guests? In John 12:48, Jesus said, "He that rejects me and doesn't receive my word has one that will judge him. And the word that I have spoken," which we have right here, "the word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day." Martha didn't hear Jesus' words. She was busy doing too many things that didn't matter in the long run, worrying about temporary things. And in her own way, she was rejecting these words of Christ. She didn't realize it, but that wasn't what she chose to do. And many people today are too busy with worldly things to listen to Jesus' word. Too busy to study. How many actually read their Bible every day? That's a difference in reading and studying too, but just reading it, how many do? Are we too busy with other things? If we don't listen to the word of God, then we're rejecting the word. Mary listened to Jesus' words, and she took the time to do what was really important and to do what was right. And it's in line with good choices that we make. You know, y'all are here tonight. You made a good choice. Look at all the people that were here this morning that are not here tonight. They're busy being Marthas, doing other things that are really not important, whether it's golfing or mowing the yard or cleaning the flower bed or, oh, I need to get some rest on Sunday because I have to do something more important tomorrow, work. So I'm going to spend a day getting my rest. But y'all notice that even though Mary made the right choice, even though she did right, it brought scorn from her sister. Today, a lot of people are scorned for the right decisions they make too, you know. The news media really gets me. Adam talked about if Phil Robertson was here. Y'all remember how he was just eat up in the media for quoting the Bible? He quoted the scriptures and they just ate him up. They just couldn't stand it. They scorned him. They didn't like him. Tim Tebow, who would kneel down and pray when he made a touchdown, oh, they didn't like it. They ate him up. The news media was relentless. But then we look at a gay basketball player that came out, and the news media was just bragging on, oh, he's a hero. He's standing up for what he believes. Well, so were Phil Robertson and Tim Tebow. The only difference is they were standing up for Christ and for what's right. We see this NFL draft that took place, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago? And a man who barely made the draft, 7th round. I mean, it's not like he's a good, really good football player in what you look at in the pro. Barely made the draft. That's all you saw on the news. Every channel you turned it on had to show him and his boyfriend kissing each other. That was in the news media. See, they chose that. That was important to them. So we have to be very careful. We have to be careful what we do and not get caught up in things. News media thinks that's important. But those of us here tonight know what's important. And it's the things eternal.
We've got a president that came out. I'm not up here to stand on a soapbox, but he came out and called them heroes because they would come out, and he was so proud of them for saying they were gay. You know, that just gripes me. That's not part of my notes. That just burns me up that a Christian can't be proud to be a Christian, but someone who is anti-Christian can have all the news time they want and they don't get in trouble for it. Has nothing to do with Martha and Mary, but it has a whole lot to do with Christianity. And we need to stand up like Mary did. She did what was right. Martha didn't like it, but she did it anyway. As Christians, we need to stand up for what's right. Let's don't be intimidated by the propaganda that we hear. Let's don't listen to, oh, you're this or that because you're a Bible thumper. That's right. Who's going to heaven? You know, the Bible thumpers. That's what I want to be. You know your Bible, because if we don't know it, we won't make it. Ignorance is no excuse. 1 Peter 4:18, the Bible says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, think of those words, scarcely. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, they won't be saved, will they? We need to make sure that we try to be like Mary. Let's sit at the foot of Christ. Let's pay attention to the Word of God. Let's do everything we can to obey the teachings and the commandments of Christ where we can scarcely be saved because we don't deserve it. But by the grace of God, we get it. It's wonderful. Let's make sure we're like Mary who chooses Jesus and not get caught up in earthly things. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, hey, you're not going to be on that part that's saved. I know that tonight I'm preaching to the choir, as they say. But any of us, I mean, I was saved when I wasn't saved. I was baptized when I was about 9 years old. Went through several years thinking, well, I'm a Christian because I was baptized. No, I wasn't a Christian. I just had been fooled by Satan. Didn't know a thing about why I was baptized, except I didn't want to get burned up in hell. Even though you're here tonight, if you're not a Christian, this is the time to do it, folks. We can't wait another time, a better time. We see the Bible full of people who waited on a better time and never got there. So if there's any tonight who are not at the foot of Jesus, it's the time to do it. You know, there's not a better time to repent of your sins, accept Jesus as your Savior. Obey this word. Be baptized for remission of sins. And then start living like Mary showed at the foot of Christ. If you have any other need, if you would, come forward as we stand and sing.